Let's give Dave and Carissa a round of applause for that prelude. I don't know if you know what song they were playing, but it's called Spirit of the Living God, Fall Fresh on who? Me. First. Not my neighbor, not those sitting behind me or next to me or behind me, but on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Are you expecting that today? Because he's going to do it, whether you're expecting it or not. Isn't that why you came? Mm-hmm. Is for God to be able to speak to you, for God to be able to show you from his word what it is that he has for you? I hope so. I hope you didn't just come just because, oh, it's Sunday morning and I better be in church, otherwise Pastor Sam might come knocking on my door. Pastor Sam doesn't do that. Yeah, that's between you and God. So I hope you're here because you know that God has prompted you to be here and you are expecting what it is that God has for you. If you are a guest with us this morning, welcome. And we are so grateful for the fact that you have chosen to come to worship with us this morning. And our prayer is that our service will be a blessing to you. When you came in, hopefully you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you'll just take a moment and when the offering plate, fill that out. And when the offering plate comes by, just drop it in the offering plate or just leave it on the information table right out here in the foyer. And that would be so helpful to us. And hopefully when you came in, you received the bulletin. And hopefully when all the rest of you came in, you received the bulletin as well. So take it out. Not a whole lot going on this week. So Saturday at 8 a.m., men, we are having men's breakfast and we are going to be at Terry's Cafe. Now, Terry's Cafe is on Fairview and it's west of Eagle. And if you need more instructions on how to get there, come and see me or text me or call me sometime during this week and I will give you some more detailed instructions. But we even put the instructions, the directions in the bulletin. So we'd like you to come and just join with us. There's lots of other things in the bulletin. As you can see, we're going to observe communion today. So that means at the time of our offering, we're also going to be taking a benevolent fund offering. The benevolent fund, for those of you who don't know, is taken and collected in order for us to be able to help those in our church family who may have some financial needs. And the giving for the benevolent fund is over and above your regular giving. And so I just want to make sure that you understand that. So if you have some questions about that, you can see me as well and we can go over that. So I hope you have July 9th on your calendar. That's a Sunday. And so we're going to be having church family dinner. And there's no theme, so it's bring whatever you want, okay? There's instructions in there for you to be able to know what to bring. Well, I hope you received the bulletin. If you didn't, make sure that you get one on the way out because it's very important for you to know all of the information that's in there. All right, you ready for the Spirit of God to come falling on you? To come cascading down as our worship team leads us in singing and as we go through the rest of our worship service for the next few moments? You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
Would you all stand up with me this morning? We're going to start with Our God is an Awesome God. You remember this song.
When he rolls up his sleeves, he ain't just putting on the red sock. God is an awesome God. There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fists. Our God is an awesome God. The Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, so you'd better be believing that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. When the sky was starless in the void of the night, our God is an awesome God. He spoke into the darkness and created the light. Our God is an awesome God. Judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. Mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Give the Lord a round of applause. Come on.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. Upon wings like eagles.
Strength will rise.
The strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God, you do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning. God, we are so thankful to come to church today. Not just to come have coffee, it's a nice benefit, but Lord, to be with you. God, we are here for you, the everlasting God, the awesome God who is not messing around. Lord, thank you so much for the things that you have done for us, you've shown us, you've given to us, you've blessed us. Lord, now we're here for you. We want to bless you. We want to praise you. We want to worship you, our everlasting God, and live our lives for you. We love you. We praise you today. In the name of Jesus, amen.
I've got a friend closer than a brother. There is no judgment. Oh, how he loves me. I've got a friend, and he is my strength. He is my portion. With me in the valley, with me in the fire, with me in the storm. Let all my life testify. Hallelujah. We are not alone. God really loves us. God really loves us. Hallelujah.
His mercy's enough. His grace is sufficient. So come if you're needing forgiveness or healing. His mercy's enough.
Oh, and this is our hope. The cross it has spoken. Death is no more. Christ is the Lord. Oh, this is our hope. Hallelujah. We are not alone. God really loves us. God really loves us. What a friend, what a Savior He is, yeah. What a Father, what a friend, what a Savior He is. Oh, what a Father, what a friend, what a Savior He is. What a Father, what a friend, what a Savior He is. Hallelujah. We are not alone. God really loves us. God really loves us. Giants come calling my name. My God is so much bigger than troubles I face. Why would I hunger for power or riches or fame? My God is so much better than all of these things. Oh, I won't be shaken. I won't be moved. My God is faithful. His promise is true. So I speak to the mountain. Oh, it's time to move. My God is bigger, better, stronger, greater than you. My enemies scatter, 'cause they know the battle is done. My God is stronger, the victory's already won. Yeah, He died for my ransom and rose up on the third day. My God is greater than death, hell and the grave. I won't be shaken. No, I won't be moved. My God is faithful. His promise is true. So I speak to the mountains. Oh, it's time to move. God is bigger, better, stronger, greater than you. There's no mountain too high, no valley too low. There's no fear that I have He doesn't already know. There's no problem too big, there's no weapon too strong. There is nothing for God that's impossible. There's no mountain too high, no valley too low. There's no fear that I have He doesn't already know. There's no problem too big, there's no weapon too strong. There is nothing for God that's impossible. Be shaken, no, I won't be moved. My God is faithful, His promise is true. So I speak to the mountains, oh, it's time to move. 'Cause my God is bigger, better, stronger, greater, bigger, better, stronger, greater, bigger, better, stronger, greater, bigger, better, stronger, greater, bigger, better, stronger, greater than you.
Woo! Give the Lord a round of applause today, because He is worthy of all of our praise. Lord, we praise You today. We say hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. You are so good. So good to us, Lord. We have nothing to fear because You are bigger, better, stronger, and greater than any mountain in our way, any fear, any doubt, any difficulty. Lord, You have already paved a way for us. God, help us to just find peace in that. Help us to find peace in You because of who You are, because of what You've done. You're awesome. Awesome God. Amen. As we take this morning's offering and you sing this very well-known hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," whatever the thing is that's going on in your life, maybe nothing. Maybe you are on the mountaintop, but maybe you're in the valley low. Today's the day to lay that care at the foot of the cross. Today's the day to put that thing before the Lord. So let's do that now. As we offer up a gift to God, offer up all that you have, all that you are before Him.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well. Trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed His own blood. My soul. sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh, my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
So just a couple comments about some of these wonderful songs this morning that our worship team has led us in to help prepare our hearts for what else God has in store for us. And I know there's children's church this morning, but I'm going to dismiss them in just a moment. But one of those songs we sang to God, that we are not alone. We are not alone. We might be lonely because we're separated from our loved ones for whatever the reason, but we're never alone. Because in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, Jesus made a promise, and he said, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Now, let me ask you a question. Can Jesus break a promise? Some of you aren't sure. Can Jesus break a promise? No, it's not within his nature. It's not within his character to break a promise. Because remember, he is God. Remember, he said, I and my Father are one. You can't separate the two. So when Jesus makes a promise, God is making that promise to us. And what did God say? I will never leave you. I am with you always. Let me ask you a second question. Does always mean always? Wait. Before you answer, does always mean always? He said before, until the end of the age. That means forever. So is Jesus promising to be with us forever? Is he with us forever? Then we're never alone. Hello? We may be lonely at times, but we are never, what? Alone. And when we have that closeness with Jesus, helping us to be able to understand that he is with us, then it becomes well with our soul. You see, when we move apart from that, it's not because Jesus went one way and we went another way. It's because Jesus stayed where he promised he would stay and we went another way. And Jesus is always there with his arms wide open, with his eyes of compassion and love when we're ready to what? Decide, you know what? I need to go back. I need to have that closeness with Jesus because I'm the one who moved, not him. Isn't that good? Isn't that great? You know what? That's not even part of the sermon this morning. I'm just throwing that in for free for you today. Okay? Sound good? All right, children, why don't you come on down and we'll get you sent off to Children's Church. All right, let's pray. Father, what a time of worship we've already been able to enjoy. And it's not over yet. Because we worship you not just with music. We worship you in so many different ways. And just because we're transitioning to a different part of our worship service doesn't mean our worship stops here. And so, Father, I pray that as these go to Children's Church, as we stay here in the sanctuary, that our worship of you will continue. And, Father, that we will listen to what it is that you have in store for us. And, Father, may we not just be hearers of your word, but, Father, help us to be the doers that you desire for us to be of your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go and have a great time. Turn in your Bibles with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And those of you who are regular attenders here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, you know that the last Sunday of the month, whenever it falls, is Communion Sunday. We celebrate communion on the last Sunday of the month, and it is a celebration. Communion is an action of our worship. Now, there are many components to worship. Sometimes we think, oh, I just went to church this morning and I worshiped because we sang some really cool songs. And then the pastor got up and explained a couple of them to us. Okay? But worship is far more than just music. We worship through music, that's true. We worship through prayer. We worship through sacrifice. You've given of your time to be able to be here. We worship through giving. When you gave this morning as the offering was taken, I hope that you gave, not because the plate was put in front of you, but because it's an action of your worship. We worship through hearing the word of God. Just like our hearts are open when we sing these songs that the worship team so wonderfully leads us in every Sunday morning, our hearts need to be open in worship as we hear the word of God, whether we've heard it a million times or not. You know, I had a conversation this morning with Brian, and I told Brian that on November 1st, 1973, I came and believed in Jesus as my Savior. Do the math. That's almost 50 years. 50 years. Do you think I've heard a lot of sermons in 50 years? You think I've given a lot of sermons in 50 years? Yep. And hopefully they've gotten better and better and better as time goes on. But only you are the judge of that. We worship through serving. I've already seen some of you serving each other as part of God's family this morning. We worship through obedience. So if we worship through hearing the word of God, we worship through giving, we worship through sacrifice, we worship through prayer, we worship through obedience, then does worship only take place within these four walls? No, because we can do all of those things once we pass through those doors and go into our community, right? Go into our jobs, go into our homes, go into our neighborhoods, go wherever it is that God is leading us, go somewhere on vacation. We can do all of that worship without having to be within the confines of these four walls. And we worship the fifth Sunday of the month by participating in communion. Our worship isn't done yet. In fact, if anything, it's probably just really begun, because we're going to look at the important part of our worship, what it is that God has to say to us. Hopefully by now you found 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in your Bibles. Follow along as I read verses 17 through 34. But in the following instructions, Paul writes to the church in Corinth, I do not commend you. Whoa. Paul says, listen, I'm writing to you some instructions, but they're going to be hard for you to handle. They're going to be difficult for you to be able to take. He says, because when you come together, it is not for the better, for the worse. Wait a minute. He's talking to a church here. He's talking to believers in the church in Corinth, and he says, when you come together, it's not good. It's not a positive thing. In fact, if anything, it's a negative thing. What if Paul was to write a letter to the church family known as Lake Hazel Bible Church? Would he say, when you come together, it's not for the better, it's for the worse? Oh, as the pastor at Lake Hazel Bible Church, I want you to come together every time that we have opportunity, not just on Sunday morning, but when we have Bible studies, when we have church family dinners, when we have men's breakfast, when we have ladies' coffee connection, when we have all of those things that are going on and you come together. My prayer is that it's for the better, that you walk out of here better than when you walked in, no matter the time, no matter the activity. Picking it back up in verse 18. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. Remember when we studied 1 Corinthians? We talked about those divisions. Some said, hey, I follow Paul. Some said, Paul, are you kidding? I follow Apollos. Apollos is a much better teacher. He's a much better person than Paul. Paul's kind of rough around the edges. Apollos, he's so dignified. He's so distinguished. He's so eloquent. Some people said, are you kidding me? Man, we follow Peter because Peter was one of the disciples. He was one of the 12. He was with Jesus for all of those time. He saw the very day that Jesus came out of the tomb, he saw him with his own eyes. We follow Peter. And then some went, are you guys crazy? We follow Jesus. So there's all these factions that are going on in the church. He says, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe that in part. For there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. Now, they were tacking on communion to other things. They had this thing called once a month, not a church family dinner. They had a love feast. But some of the more wealthy people would get there early, and they would bring the food, and they wouldn't wait for the rest of the church family to show up. They would just go ahead and start eating. And then when the rest of the church family came, who might wasn't part of the upper crust of the church family, there wasn't anything for them to be able to eat. And in fact, they even participated in communion before the other part of the church family got there. Now, can you imagine that? Can you imagine that we said church is going to start at 10, but for those of you who arrive at 9:30, we're just going to go ahead and do communion. And if there's no more bread and there's no more cup left, and the others come at 10 o'clock, oh, wow. Their loss. You snooze, you get the idea, right? Not a good thing. And so there's these factions because people were not what? Honoring God. Honoring God. By what? Honoring others. He says, when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? Nope, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. Now get what Paul is saying here. Paul's saying, I'm not writing to you my opinion. I'm not writing to you what it is that I think or what it is that I believe. This came to me directly from the Lord. That the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. as the Corinthian church was celebrating communion, were they remembering Jesus? Nope. What were they remembering? Their own selfish desires. Why? Because they were hungry, or so they thought. Or they wanted to be at the head of the line, or so they thought that that was important. Look at verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Is it about you? Is communion about you? No, communion is about who? Jesus. And what it is that he's done for us. Verse 27. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So, what's Paul telling them? When you participate, when you celebrate communion, you better be what? Checking your heart. You better be evaluating where your heart is. Is for you, is it all about Jesus? Or is it all about you? For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things going on in your church, I will give directions when I come. So, communion is one of the things that Paul is reminding us as a church, reminding us as a collection of believers, that Jesus has told us to do. And Paul is reminding them, and by it being reserved for us in God's word, he's reminding that to us today. Communion is one of the things that Jesus tells all believers to do. And there are some reasons for this, and I want to go over those reasons to help prepare ourselves for when it comes time for us to be able to participate and celebrate communion. First, if you're taking notes, this is the first point. Communion is a time to regroup. A time to regroup. Now, Paul wrote these words to believers in the city called Corinth. Now, Corinth is not a very big place right now. You can go to Corinth today, but it's not a very big place. But in Paul's day, Corinth was one of the five largest cities in the Roman Empire, behind Rome, Athens, and Antioch in Syria. And because of the size of its population, it would not always be easy to make or keep friends. People were coming to the church in Corinth, yes, so that they could hear the word of God, but also so that they could have friends who had things in common with them, who believed the same things that they believed, who understood from God's word the same things that they understood. They were joined together in the truth of God's word. Besides that, there were no buildings that were used as churches. Standalone church facilities didn't come along until 300 years after Paul wrote these instructions to the church at Corinth. And even though believers at this point in time in the early church was increasing in number, as we've been studying in our study of the book of Acts, they didn't have a single designated place to meet on a regular basis. So these believers would meet in homes or any place they could in order to worship God and to hear messages from God's word. It was a time for them to be able to come together and what? Regroup. In the book of Acts, we see that they came together multiple times during the course of a week. Not just one designated time, in one designated location, but they came together whenever they had opportunity to be able to what? To be able to regroup. And notice that as Paul gives these instructions, he doesn't say when, where, or how often they were to celebrate communion together. Now, I've had discussions with other church leaders of other churches in my past and as I've been in ministry. And one of the questions that they ask two questions. How big is your church? And I want to say, well, it's really Jesus' church. And it's really this big. there's this many people that are attending. During the summer, though, we don't really concentrate on attendance because people are gone. And the second question they always ask is, when do you do communion? And I say, we do it once a month. And they go, not any more than that? Nope. Well, shouldn't you do communion in your church more than that? And I say, why? Well, because we're supposed to do communion. Yes. Well, we're supposed to do communion every week. I say, where? Can you show me where that it says that? And they go, it's not there. Paul doesn't give how often we're supposed to do it. He doesn't tell us that. So it's up to us as church leadership to be able to set that for us. I pastored a church, believe it or not, at one time, until I straightened them out, that we only did communion every quarter. What? Every 3 months, Pastor? Are you serious? Show me where I violated something. And by the way, I inherited that when I came to be their church pastor. But like I said, it took me a little while, but I got them straightened out. So we went to doing communion once a month. Right? Communion is a time for us to be able to what? Regroup. Regroup as a church family. Regroup as individuals within that church family. Remember what he said? He said, when you come together to celebrate communion, you need to do what? Evaluate. You need to examine yourself. You need to what? Regroup. You need to regroup. Communion not only is a time to regroup, but it's a time to remember. That's the second point if you're taking notes. It seems these believers in Corinth had regular meetings in small groups, and there were other meetings when larger groups of believers could meet together. And one of the reasons why these larger groups came together was to celebrate communion, to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross and why he did it. Now, we cannot know if any of these believers in Corinth actually saw Jesus on the cross. But there wasn't a long time before this when Jesus and him dying on the cross did happen. It did happen, by the way. It's possible that many of the Jews in Corinth would have heard and known about it as they spent time in Jerusalem. And every time these believers participated together in communion, they couldn't help but what? Remember. They remembered that Jesus went to the cross for them. We remember when we participate and celebrate communion together that Jesus went to the cross for us. We remember that Jesus went to the cross for the whole world. We remember. You remember? Every communion service, after the bread is passed and we partake, and after the cup is passed and we get ready to partake, I say the same words. And I've been saying them as long as I've been pastor here. And I've been saying them as long as I've been officiating communion services. Let's remember Jesus. Because this isn't the churches. This isn't the pastors. This is Jesus. We do this as part of our worship once a month to remember Jesus. Because some of us have broken rememberers. And we get so busy in the hustle and bustle of what goes on during the course of a month that we have a tendency to forget what it is that he has done for us as he went to that cross to be our propitiation, to be our substitute, to pay the debt of sin that God required for our sin. Because he's the only one who could. So we're not here to remember the pastor as we do communion this morning. We're not here to remember the church when we do communion this morning. We are here to remember Jesus. But as we remember, there's something else we need to do. And each one of us on an individual basis must evaluate ourselves. And when that evaluation tells us that there's something wrong spiritually in our lives, we need to reroute. So communion is a time to reroute. Rerouting our hearts and our lives comes as we evaluate our lives from a spiritual perspective. And this evaluation involves a change of our actions. Now, as I thought about this, I thought, there's a couple questions that comes up as a result of this examination or this evaluation. The first question is, why? Why should we examine? Well, we need to examine to see if there is sin that has come to hinder our relationship with God. And then, what should we examine? Well, I think we need to examine our knowledge of what communion represents. We need to examine our faith in Jesus as Savior. Do we understand and accept that our salvation for eternal life is found by faith in Jesus alone? We need to examine our understanding of a sacrifice. Do you know what it cost God to bring his redemption to you? It cost his one and only Son. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. That word perish, in context, there means separated from him forever, separated from God forever. That we will not be separated from God forever, but what? Have you everlasting life. It cost God his one and only Son. We should examine our sentiments. Do we love God? Do we love others, especially those of the household of faith? Obviously, what was going on here in the church of Corinthians, even though they were meeting together for a love feast, there wasn't a whole lot of love. Well, there was love for self. There was love for their own selfish appetites, but there wasn't love for others because they didn't wait for those in the church family to gather together as a whole. They came together when certain food was put out and it looked appetizing. They what? They dove in. And if there wasn't any left when the others got there, so be it. We should examine our submission. What about our obedience? Now notice that Paul does not say here that we have to come to the table perfect. Because if he said that, none of us would be able to come to the table to celebrate communion. But are we obedient? Are we obedient to what God has instructed for us? Are we obedient to what it is that Jesus has instructed for us to do and to be? We need to examine, are we conformed to the world or are we being conformed to the image of Jesus? You see, spiritual living and right associations are essential to every believer. Obedience to the Word of God leads to spiritual consistency. Faith animates our spiritual service, but reverence and love of God maintains our spiritual living. And as we continue to study the book of Acts, the life of Paul will be a good example to us of that spiritual living. Spiritual living starts from the heart as a commitment to holy living, as we commit ourselves to live according to the truths of God's word. It is fueled by faith, enhanced by love, and maintained through our reverence of God. And remember, our reverence of God means that we do not bring God down to that which is common. We keep him in his proper place. The fourth thing I want us to understand this morning is that communion is a time to rejoice. We as believers have a living Savior. Do you believe that? He died on that cross, but 3 days later, he came out of that tomb. 40 days later, he ascended into heaven. And he said that he goes there to prepare a place for us. And when it is finished, he will come and receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we will also be. Where he is, there we will also be. We have a living Savior. Only a living Savior can act good on that promise. Let me ask you a question that I asked you before we ever started this preaching. Can Jesus break a promise? Some of you still aren't sure. Can Jesus break a promise? No. So only a living Savior could do that. A dead Savior can't make promises and then continue to keep them after he dies. Only a what? Living Savior can do that. Yes, Jesus died, but he rose from the dead. 3 days later, he came out of that tomb, and we have the opportunity to receive salvation through him alone. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." So we need to remember all that we have in God because of what Jesus has done for us. A man who had been living on Chicago's Skid Row for many years came to a mission one night. He heard the message of salvation, ate the meal, and went to bed. That was his last night on earth. He died poverty-stricken and friendless, never to see another day. What he did not know was that he had an inheritance of over $4 million waiting for him in England. The authorities had searched for him but were unable to find him because he had no address. Here was a man who had all the material wealth he could ever want, but he lived and died in poverty. In this sense, he was just like many believers who live in spiritual poverty because they are not fully aware of their wealth in God. We have eternal salvation that comes from God. We have an eternal home that Jesus is preparing for us. When we believe in Jesus as Savior, we are adopted into God's family, and that cannot be undone. We are joint heirs with Jesus. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and we can be controlled by God's Spirit. It's absolutely true that we need to continually remember what Jesus did for us, but we can also rejoice in all he continues to do for us. As we join together this morning to participate, to celebrate what it is that Jesus has done for us, let's remember him. He who went to that cross for us. He whose body was broken. He whose blood was shed for us. Yes, he died on that cross, but 3 days later he came out of that tomb. He's a living Savior. Let's celebrate him this morning. Now let me just remind you that you do not have to be a regular attender of Lake Hazel Bible Church. You just have to believe in Jesus as Savior to be able to participate together in communion with us this morning. I'm going to ask the men to come and join me at the table.
Became sin who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing, love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sin. Some from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Let's remember Jesus.
His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out, all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing, love so Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sin. Some from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all our hope is in you, all our hope is in you, all the glory. The light of the world, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel. Sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Let's remember Jesus.
For our last song, Take My Life and Let It Be, would you stand with me? So we sing all six verses of this hymn.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow ceaseless praise, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and and let them be filled with messages from Thee, filled with messages. take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Every power as thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store.